Hello and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm Conrad and today I'm joined by one John Webb.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Sorry, I cut in too early there.
No, that was fine.
It's like you and I have never recorded a podcast together, isn't it? That's quite embarrassing. But hello.
We haven't for a while, though, have we?
It's been a good while, sir, yes.
Yes. How the devil are you, sir?
Yeah. You know, tired. Very, very tired. Been very busy. Had a three-hour conference call yesterday to deal with some back-end issues. But, no, that sounds really bad. Some technical issues. Yeah, well, yeah, not with my doctor. But yeah, I'm okay. Things are starting to happen.
As it's the first time on the show, John... Mm-hmm. Even though there are some people who don't know who you are, surprisingly. I find that very hard to believe. Normally what we do is we ask the guest host to do a 30-second bio, gaming bio.
Okay.
So take it away.
Okay, I'm John. I really like painting and I really like Pokemon and I sometimes play Toy Soldiers, but less and less than I would like to as time goes on. And I've been doing it for 20 years. There you go, that's 30 seconds.
Starting with
first game,
yeah.
Oh God, Games Workshop was the first miniatures game that I played properly. But I was playing, oh God, some really old stuff, BattleTech. Really odd board games, like a bit like, you know, Stratego. Imagine that, but a different game.
Yep.
That sort of thing. And I had a really interesting one, which was a book, and it was actually... one thing that people do know me know, my brain is terrible. It was the Spanish Armada. You refought the kind of the famous, you know, Spanish Armada attacking England, sending out the British fleets.
A book?
Yeah, it was a book, and you cut out all the pieces from the book. They were squares... tiles, and you built this huge map of the kind of the British Channel and recreated, and I mean there was, you know, hundreds of ships, and it was this, you know, really very complex hit. So actually I can't believe I'm going to say this, but one of my first wargaming experiences was historical, which is ridiculous. For those of you who know me well, no, I'm not really a historical guy, but yeah, so there you go. So
did you have a beard at that time?
I was born with a beard. I literally climbed from the womb beard.
So that's fitting the traditional historical wargaming.
Yes, sure.
Was this before the dawn and invention of BlueTac?
No.
What? Okay. I was just imagining all those tiles without.
Oh, I didn't have any BlueTac. No. Every time you knocked the table, they went everywhere. It was great.
Sounds as though you had to have a lot of patience for that.
Yeah. And it's one of those games that, like, your family never want to play it with you because they're like, oh no, only weird people play games like this. And
only if we can have the window open on a windy day.
But I've worked for Games Workshop. I'm a press ganger now. I have a convention, which I think is probably what we're here to talk about tonight.
And, what's that convention called?
Well, it's called SmogCon, and it's 4 years old. Conrad, you've been to every single one, I believe.
I have, yes.
Yeah, and you're booked to come to the next one, which is good. It, I think if people want to hear the real backstory to SmogCon, there's quite a few boosted damage episodes that kind of involve it. But yeah, you know, it was something that I set up a couple of years ago with the assistance, input, and advice of several members of the gaming community, yourself included. And here we are in year four, and it's. I was talking to Mike last night and I said we've kind of hit phase three of the con and we've kind of done it a year earlier than I was expecting to, shall we say. So yeah, so it's grown from humble roots. We started off with Firestorm. Always, you know, big shout out to Rob down in Firestorm. We love that place and we love Rob. And we were there for 2 years, finding our feet and starting to work out what we're doing. And then last year was kind of our big breakout year, and we moved to a hotel down in Guildford and tried all sorts of different things and had real exponential growth. I mean, year one we were 80 people, and last year we had 280 odd, so it's quite a big jump up. And this year we've decided, we've been quite lucky to actually form a partnership with Privateer Press, makers of War Machine Hordes, and a whole bunch of other cool games. And yeah, it's one of those things like there's been, you know, efforts and discussions and plans for as long as I've been a press ganger, really, which is 5 years now, to try and get something going for Privateer in Europe. And with the way things were going with SmogCon, and, you know, the relationship I've got with Bob from Cerberus, who kind of looks after the UK and EU side of Privateer Press's casting. And also, you know, my relationship with Privateer as well. I've been over to America a couple of times now and slowly got to know the guys. And it all sort of fell into place, really. And they actually announced at Lock and Load, which is their convention that we sort of loosely emulate or, you know, aspire to with SmogCon, that we'd be forming a partnership, which was fantastic. It was a really quite an important way of launching, I think, because it showed how committed, you know, Privateer were, that they would announce it on their time. You know, Matt Wilson announced it, which is pretty cool. Matt Wilson's the guy that, you know, created War Machine. He's the guy responsible for all the fun we have. So that was quite a big moment for us, for me, I think, which was really cool.
And that was quite recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was last month. June. Here we are. You know, we've moved venues to Heathrow, partly because we needed more space, and partly because, you know, one of the big things about SmogCon is it's a European event, and it's actually a global event. But we've definitely, you know, it was always a deliberate, conscious effort to want to bring lots of different gamers together from everywhere, you know, anywhere and everywhere. And, you know, one of the aspects behind that is it's got to be easy for people to get to. And, you know, I was just updating the website and I was putting the, like, how to get to the venue thing. And it was like, yeah, fly to Heathrow and then you
get on a hotel bus.
Yeah, exactly that. And you are at the venue. I mean, we are right outside Heathrow, as in the other side of the fence from the planes. The good news is it's a triple glazed hotel. So I think you've actually stayed there previously, haven't you, Conrad?
I've been there at least twice and stayed overnight. Yeah, there.
And I mean, it's you wouldn't know you're at Heathrow from the inside. It's perfectly sort of soundproofed, and it's a gorgeous hotel. Like, it's, once again, we've gone 4 stars, because I think that's the other thing about SmogCon. When we decided to step away from Firestorm and go independent, we looked at all sorts of venues, and you know, we kind of wanted to set ourselves apart. And obviously, you and I have been to Gen Con a couple of times together.
Yeah.
I've been to Lock and Load, which has now moved venues. But the last time I went, which was 2013, it was in the Red Lodge, I think it was the Red Lion, in sort of downtown Seattle.
And it's moved to D.C. this year, didn't it? It was sort of Washington way, wasn't it?
Well, Seattle is in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's still in Seattle, but yeah, like slightly further afield. And every time you kind of go, wow, this is like gorgeous. And I, you know, I'm not knocking any gaming store in the UK or anything, but we just wanted to stand out a little bit. So, you know, 4-star luxury, essentially.
The Guildford Hotel for SmogCon this year, and the extension over at the Radisson as well. Was it
a Radisson as well? Yeah.
Yeah. I thought we were really nice. A bit of quaintness, and also on the new side, the Radisson was sort of more modern.
Yeah.
But I think it matched the feel for the event.
Mm.
Yes, you opened it up to newer gaming systems. And that's one of the things I'm sad about, is the fact that they won't be there. But I'm also really pleased the fact that we've got this partnership finally with Privateer.
Yeah, I mean, and it's worth sort of talking about that quickly, because I mean, you know, people have asked, and I've sort of made a public statement, but I'm really sad as well. Like, in all seriousness, what we had previously was the start of a potential journey that could have gone to some very interesting places. You know, there was potential for other, you know, other people to come on board and stuff. But for various reasons, I decided to kind of narrow the focus to just Privateer, and the payoff was we then got that, you know, exclusive partnership with Privateer, and it let us...
It's the rubber stamp, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, like, the way I, you know, to sort of to put it in its most basic form, I stood at a fork in the road, and there were two destinations, and neither was the wrong destination, and I just had to make a call as to which way I wanted to go with regard to SmogCon. And I decided that the core player base of SmogCon was always Privateer itself, was Privateer Press event. It was a homage to Privateer Press, and I thought, this is what, you know, this is what I do, this is what we do well, this is what we can really take to the next level. And if Privateer come on board, it just gives it something that no one outside of America can get at the moment. And it's something that people have been asking for. You know, people always say, oh, we want Privateer to come here, we want them to bring stuff over, we want them to give us access to the exclusives, you know, the convention exclusive swag and stuff like that. And I thought, well, I'd be stupid to pass up the chance not to do it, really.
Absolutely. I think it's a great catch for you and for the community. I remember conversations with you, you know, even at Gen Con or just at the club or whenever, you know, we're at an event where we were talking about being able to have a potential sort of P3 outside of the US, because PP were very, very US market focused. But I think this is a big step for them, trying to find the right environment, partner, mechanism to get out into Europe is obviously going to be very, very important to them from a business and image point of view. So the fact that they've got the confidence to A, partner, and B, then go full steam ahead and publicly announce it. And then the tickets went on sale.
July 1st.
Tuesday, wasn't it?
July 1st, which was
300 tickets with the potential of releasing slightly more expensive tickets if in the next month.
Yeah, well, no. So the way we always do it is
early bird.
The early bird, and it's to encourage people to essentially let me have access to their funds, because the thing is, SmogCon is now its own company, but we still run very, very close to the margins. You know, no one's making any money out of this.
It's a non-profit.
It's basically a non-profit limited company to all intents and purposes. And the everything that gets paid out for tickets goes back into the event. No one takes any money away from SmogCon. But, you know, I've already paid for a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of stuff, you know, bills are coming in. So I always have to ask people to buy tickets early and put their faith in my event. And I think at this point, you know, we have proved ourselves, and I think people are understanding of that. I think, you know, we proved people are understanding of that, but you know, people know they can trust the SmogCon brand, and they're willing to do so. But I always sort of say, well, you know, we're going to do the early bird as a kind of a thank you to the players for saying, because otherwise tickets at the full price would have gone on sale in October. So it gives people a couple of months to prep. They get it's about 16% discount. It's £10 off the ticket price, 16% discount. And the idea was, 300 tickets, that's bigger than we've ever been before. We're a pure system again. So last year we had 280 people, but off that there were other systems. So this year, you know, 300 tickets. We've lost some people because we've lost, you know, dropped some game systems. We're gaining Privateer, so that sort of brings a boost back. 300 tickets sounds about right, and you know, we'll see how we go, and we'll see what happens. And we sold out in about 5 hours, which frankly blew my mind. I thought because 200 is the benchmark where I've covered the basics, and that was a really important point. So I'm like, if I can get to 200, I'm gonna be okay, you know. And then we got
sigh of relief.
Yeah, and we got to 200 within an hour, and I was like, yeah, we're gonna be okay. It's all gonna be okay. And then it got to about 11, and there were 26 tickets left, and I was like, I'm going to bed. This is too much for me. So, you know, got up the next morning, and sure enough, there were no tickets, and people were, you know, battering down my door saying, John, I didn't get a ticket. Get me a ticket. And of course, I'm like, well, I can't, because there were 300 tickets. They sold out. And it's really interesting. It's a lot of, you know, people like SmogCon champion Martin Hornacek didn't get a ticket. Lots of other, you know,
Chris Cawthorn from the UK.
Yeah, Chris Cawthorn, who's supposed to be coming to work for me, so that's an interesting one. So yeah, you know, lots of and you know, loads of people. The good news is, one of the reasons I chose this hotel is, unlike the Mandalay where we filled it and that was the end of it, hence the expansion to the Radisson over the road, the Radisson in Heathrow has more space.
Yes.
It was always like, we'll see what happens, and you never know, there may be a chance to expand. We are going to expand. There's going to be more tickets coming soon. The way it's going to work is I'm not going to open those tickets out to the general public until everyone on the waiting list has been offered a ticket first. So if you're hearing this and you're not on the waiting list yet, email info@smogcon.com or smogcon@gmail.com. Either of those will come to me, and you will be put on the name, the waiting list, and then I'll just be working down that in chronological order. So the first person to drop me an email will get first chance at the tickets, and so on and so forth. Anything left over after that, we will then open back out to the public, but there's only going to be another 100 tickets maximum, and I tell that I will not go any further, because what I don't want to do is, you know, sell a million tickets and then have space for 150 people to have a really good weekend, because that's not fair to the players, you know, and it's also very stressful. You know, 300 was already me kind of thinking, oh, that's going to be quite a balancing act. And no, what's been great is the press gang have been phenomenal in their sort of desire to come and help. So I was concerned that I wasn't going to have the ability to staff as well as I'd like. And actually, I think it's going to be fine. So, but we are still looking for volunteers, so do get in touch. Because, you know, the more hands, the better. You know how it works. But I've got to be very careful not to sort of oversell the event and then not be able to provide the fund. So I'm currently in negotiation with the hotel about what we can open up, working out sort of how I can use the space, and also talking to Privateer about what events we're going to put on, and all that stuff will be announced in the near future. Like we never announce the concrete plans until after kind of pre-sales, just because until we see the numbers, we don't know, essentially.
Yeah, exactly right.
But, we are going to cap at 400 no matter what. Like, even if I sell those in 3 seconds, there will not be any more this year, because that's as comfortable as I feel we can, you know, make the events. And, I mean, anyone who came to previous years and saw the space, we're doubling at a minimum what we had before. So there's going to be guaranteed already 128 competitive places each day for each event stream. They're going to be split into two, so it's going to be two pools of 64. Last year we had 64 comp. This year we've got 128. And I'm actually going to add a second comp room, which will then add another stream for slightly unusual formats and stuff. So we're already more than doubling the competitive space. The casual play space, it's an official Iron Arena now, which is great because it lets us do a lot of cool stuff that we couldn't do previously. Again, that's a minimum twice the size, and I'm just trying to fight. Basically, there's a third hall that I don't have access to at the moment because they're recarpeting it, and I'm trying to make them not recarpet it so we can use the space, because that would then be phenomenal, because we'd have essentially 3.5 times the space we had last year at the Mandalay, which would be spot on, basically. One of the criticisms last year, people said, oh, there's not enough things to do. And actually, on the day it transpired, that was not the case at all. People had a time. But, and I think, you know, it's always that kind of preamble to the show. People are worried. People want to get their money's worth. And I totally understand that. But
then it's all about, it's the same old thing, you know, as we've done the American cons. It's about pacing yourself in such a way that
absolutely,
and you can't get
you can't
it
do it all. And also the other thing as well about these conventions is you can go and play, you know, 20 games of War Machine a day for 3 solid days. Not many people do, because actually a huge part of it is the social side. And I mean, what's fantastic is the European response to this has been massive. We've got, like, I think someone worked out, like, 10% of our attendees are from, like, Sweden or something. Like, it's unreal. You know, these huge groups of guys are coming from all over the place.
And we've got people coming from the States as well.
Yeah, Men of John. Yeah, Men of John's coming. That's going to be wild. I can't wait for that. It's going to be really good. He's a good laugh, that guy. It's going to be huge. And I think, you know, what's been good is as we've done this each year, people have more and more understood what we're doing, and they've become more and more kind of readily accepting of what we do. And I think the other important thing is, it would be, dare I say it, quite easy for me to be resting on my laurels and feeling very smug about the world. If anyone knows me well, they know that that's kind of not my nature. I'm constantly bricking myself, trying to work out how can I not screw this up and disappoint.
There's a lot of hard work with an event this size. I mean, you've increased your capacity by what? Nearly 50%, probably just 30 or 40%.
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
You've got a third party essentially to deal with in the form of PP, who will probably have particular requirements for the event as well, I'm guessing. I'm hoping that some PP people will be coming over.
We've got, definitely Will Schick is coming, and we haven't announced anyone else yet, but I'm hoping we're going to get a good mix of creative types, rules types, and general PP people. But yeah, they're going to be there, throwing down in the Iron Arena so you can play games against them, hopefully doing some discussions about, you know, future releases, game theory, games design, all sorts of things. I mean, it's all dependent who we ultimately get to come over. But I think at the moment we've got four members of staff from Privateer penciled in to join us, and one of them is definitely Will Schick, which is going to be huge. I mean, they're all great guys. You know, you and I have spent time with them over in the States. They're going to be bringing their armies so they can play games. They're there to kind of interact. And I think, you know, to wrap it up for now, I think that's the really important thing about this year as well, is this is kind of year one of phase three. And I think it's going to be a really interesting year because, you know, both myself and Privateer and the player base get to see how it works outside of America. And that will influence decisions for the future, because this is, touch wood, going to be an ongoing process. And you know I'm already, dare I say it, thinking about 2016 as well, and how we're going to grow the space and what options we're going to bring in there and how big we can go from there. And I really think, you know, it's going to be a great year to start forming that relationship, and you know, it's, you know, everyone's in new ground now. You know, we haven't done it this way before, and it's going to be really interesting. You know, going to be a few, you know, sharp edges to burr off and smooth down, but I think it's, you know, a huge step into a great next.
It's the start of a beautiful relationship.
Well, it's an evolution of an already pre-existing fairly attractive relationship.
Yes, I mean we've been in touch off and on over the last God knows how many years with the guys, finally getting to meet them at Gen Con 1 and 2 when we both went, and just maintained
go
it.
Go back,
you know,
and listen to those interviews where John Snape and I interviewed Matt Wilson back in the day, and you know, you and I interviewed Matt DP, and you know, it's really awesome that it's come to, and it's pretty awesome to be, you know, the kind of driving force behind doing it, because it's that thing of, it's what I've always wanted to happen one way or another. Now, whether it happened through SmogCon or something else, I wasn't concerned. I just really wanted to see that happen, and the fact that I've been able to do it, it's cool, because I think Europe deserves it. You know, the player base here is huge, and the guys here are so passionate, and I think it's going to be so good. Like, you know, probably to know, but to experience it, to get that face time with the guys, and to have that, you know, different opinion, but I don't know. Carry on. Sorry.
The big thing for me is that we've gone there, you know. Not only us, there's been other people from around Europe who've gone to the US cons to take part in PP events. And I think this is a bit of a payback as well, because the community is a global community now, as far as I'm concerned. There are as good players in the Europe space as there are in the US space. They've shown that at the events. I just think it's a good and a huge step for them to actually get presence here in an official capacity, and I think it's great. So, congratulations. We've run long.
Yes, sorry.
There's a surprise.
Yeah, what, you and I start talking, and we're here till 2 in the morning. You know how it is. But, yeah.
So, I'm going to close the show. I'm sure, well, I'm hoping that we'll get you back for updates as and when. But until that time, I've been Conrad.
I've been John.
Goodbye. Good.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.